Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A master gave three servants money to invest. In a parable, Jesus said that two servants made substantial returns and were rewarded. The third wrapped his in a piece of cloth and felt the wrath of his master. Today, how this parable likens money to the way we spread the gospel. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. From the parables, Erwin Lutzer continues a series he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn again to Luke chapter 19 for a lesson on getting faithfulness right.
The man was filled with fear. He said, you know, God, you're very austere, you are very unknowable, you are very judgmental, and so I was afraid and I accepted this mina, I accepted the gospel, but I kept it wrapped up because I'm so full of fear about you, I decided to play it safe. I wasn't willing to take any kind of a risk at all for the purpose of the gospel. I only played that which was safe, that which was close to the vest, as the saying goes. And then not only was he fearful, but the bottom line, of course, was that he was very faithless. The reason, you see, he took the gospel for himself, hid it in a handkerchief, never shared it, is because he did not have confidence that the gospel had the ability to multiply itself. He didn't believe that if the gospel were shared and if he got involved in propagating the gospel that it would have an eternal impact. So he was content to have the gospel be something that he enjoyed and benefited from, but he himself was not going to do anything to advance it. No interest in the bank. And I think there's something else going on in the text. I thought of it this morning. I think he's angry. I mean, these are the words of somebody who's angry. And when you have somebody who's angry with God, angry at the church, angry because of the way in which their money has been spent, what do? They say to themselves, you'll never get anything out of me. I may be here to lick up a blessing for myself, but I'm not going to lift a finger to bless anybody else. Oh, bitter people are oftentimes very stingy, angry, and they take the mina. They're glad for it, but they don't share it. The rest of the story is not heartwarming at all. You'll notice that Jesus did not look upon this and say, well, I'm going to excuse you because you had a hard background. You'll notice he says, why didn't you put my money in the bank? If you think that I was so austere and so angry, you should have been working hard to please me. Didn't give you an excuse not to do anything. And then you'll notice Jesus said to those who stood by, he said, I'm in verse 24, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they say exactly what we would. Lord, he's already got 10. Why give it to the man who has 10 already? Why should he have 11? And Jesus said, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then the most solemn words of all, but as for those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. You know, this is the meek and mild Jesus. I'm so amused when sometimes on the news it says, well, didn't Jesus just preach love? Well, yeah, he preached love and died to demonstrate it. But he's also the Jesus of great judgment. Now, what I'd like to do is to bring this down where you and I live, because I intend that your life be changed because you're hearing God's word. Our lives should always be changed when we hear God's word. And a sobering word like this from the lips of Jesus should not escape us at all. Couple of comments. First of all, we're accountable for what we do with the gospel. Did the gospel save you? Did God's gospel save you? I realize today that most of you, I'm sure, are saved. Many of you are not. But for a moment, I'm talking to those of you who are, and you know it because of your faith in Christ. Did you know that you're going to be held accountable? Did you know that you're going to come into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, "What did you do with my gospel that saved you?" How do we invest in the gospel so that we're not embarrassed at his return? Couple of comments. First of all, what we need to do is to share the gospel. How can you explain a man or a woman saved by Jesus for all eternity, working with people perhaps in a business, next to them, and the person next to them year after year does not know that he or she is even a Christian, as they keep the gospel wrapped in that handkerchief, as they hide it under a bushel and make sure that no one sees it, either because they're ashamed, but that's not the real reason. Did you know why people don't witness for Christ? No matter how much he does for us, it is so difficult to get Christians to speak about him. You say, well, it's because they don't know how. Listen, there are tons of courses out there on how to witness. And it's so easy. You can give them a book and say, read this book and I'll talk to you about it in 2 weeks' time. Not to put too fine a point on it, but one that you might like to use is 1 minute after you die. That would be a wonderful book to give to somebody. And then say, I'll talk to you about this in 2 weeks. That's not the real reason. We've got methodology coming out of our ears. The real reason that people do not share the faith is because they themselves are not walking in spiritual victory, and therefore they say to themselves, who am I to commend Jesus to someone when obviously I'm not walking in fellowship with him at all? You see, that's really the reason, and that's why evangelism happens when the Holy Spirit helps us clean up our lives. It is then that we begin to share the good news. Many Christians are like a cup, half filled, trying desperately to spill over. But they have nothing to give for others because their own cup is only half full. We should share the gospel. Also, we can invest in the gospel by supporting the gospel. We support the gospel. Our children's ministry here at the Moody Church is maxed out. It's not only maxed out in terms of VBS, though I want to say a word about that, but it's maxed out for other reasons because it has been entirely too successful. And we need workers. I'm going to say a word now to Moody Church. I realize that this message eventually goes to all kinds of churches over the radio and other means by the internet all over the world. So you can apply this to your own church, but I'm going to speak to the people at Moody Church just for a moment. When you invest, when you contribute to the ministry of Moody Church financially, when you make that contribution, you are actually extending the gospel. You are investing in the gospel so that young people can go to camp, so that our children's ministry can be strong and healthy. Because you see, those of us who work with a budget, we always say to ourselves, you know, this ministry is expanding, but we don't have enough money for it. Because what we're interested in is not paying the bills and keeping the lights on and the floors swept. All that is because of a much greater reason, namely the extension and the investment of the gospel around the world. That's what it is that we are committed to here in this church. And because someday Jesus is going to say, what did you do with the gospel that saved you? Did you share it? Did you help extend it? When you volunteer as a children's worker at great sacrifice, when you volunteer as a car parker or an usher or all of the other ministries. We publish a booklet a couple times a year with all the different opportunities and all the different volunteers that we know. What you are really doing is you are investing in the gospel. And what an investment it is, because we are accountable. There is a second lesson that we must realize, and that is that we're not rewarded equally. We're not rewarded equally. Now, when it comes to interpreting parables, we have to be very careful that we shouldn't necessarily draw a lot of lessons from the parable. Because parables have one point, and this point is that Jesus is going away and will hold all of his servants accountable. But I tend to think that this servant who had nothing to show for himself was a Christian. Now, I woke up this morning at 3:30 and couldn't get back to sleep. So I hope that I'm awake this morning. I think I am. I don't want to be like that preacher who dreamed he was preaching and then woke up and found out he was. But lying there in bed, like Velcro affixed to my soul, I thought of the words of Jesus to this servant, "You wicked slave." And I wondered, would Jesus ever speak to one of his own that way? Wow. You say, well, no, of course he wouldn't, because Calvary covers it all. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All that is blessedly true. But the fact that we are redeemed and clothed in Christ's righteousness does not mean that God will not review our lives. This is so clear from Scripture. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to reward each person according to what he hath done." Wow. Now, of course, throughout all of eternity, those who do well and those who don't do well will all be one. Something like a chandelier. Some lights burn brighter than others, but all of them are burning. All of them are giving glory to God. But I'm talking to you today about something very, very serious, because you and I, as believers, will stand before Christ, and he will ask, "What did you do with the gospel? Did you advance it? Did you contribute toward it? Did you volunteer for it? Did you share it?" When you give to the ministry of Moody Church, you're also giving to missions. And you'll notice on our envelope, there's a special category for that. And missions giving happens to be down. And I know that these are difficult financial times, but at the end of the day, what we're interested in doing here as a church, as a community called by God to live passionately for Jesus Christ, we are very interested in extending the gospel, and each of our missionaries are doing that in different parts of the world. And we're saying that we will stand with you because we are committed to its advance and its investment. Because someday we're going to explain it all to Jesus, and it'll all be very clear. This ought to be very sobering. So we're not all rewarded equally. Yes, Calvary covers it all. But the question is, what are we doing with the gift Calvary offers? There's a final lesson, and that is this, that if you reject the king, you don't get into the kingdom. If you reject the king, you don't get into the kingdom. I read the verse a moment ago that should send chills up our back. Verse 27, "But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me." It's the Jesus who judges. In this parable, you have three different people. You have the faithful person who does good. You have the unfaithful person who does nothing. He's content. with having his mina wrapped in his own handkerchief, all kept to himself, uninvolved in the proclamation and the extension and the investment of the gospel. So you have somebody who does good, you have somebody who does nothing, and then you have the wicked who do evil. Three categories in this parable. Now, I need to explain that for many of you who are on a spiritual journey and you've never come to saving faith in Christ, saving faith in Jesus Christ, becoming a member of the kingdom, is not something that happens because you were baptized. It's not something that you grow into. It is a personal decision to stop trusting yourself and to trust Christ alone for your eternal soul and your eternity. And once you have that, you have your mina. That is to say, you get the free gift of the gospel. And that gift is free. But then we have the responsibility of living it out. You know, Jesus told parables. And I began this message by talking about the fact that Jesus wants us to live meaningful lives. Some of you who are in very difficult circumstances, you say, how can I do that? Well, you can pray for the extension of the gospel. You can pray for the ministry of Moody Church. You can pray for missionaries. You can pray, but everyone involved in extending the gospel, we all get the same gift. What are we doing with it? But there's a parable that Jesus told that I'm not going to be speaking about in this series, and that is, Jesus said two people went into a temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. And he prayed and said, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm a good person. I don't commit adultery. I tithe and I fast. Remember that story? Jesus said, next to him, there was a publican. And this publican, who was kind of like a tax gatherer, kind of on the outskirts of society, never even looked up. You know, when we sing the song, Holy, 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 and then it says, you know, that the eye of sinful man thy glory cannot see. I don't know about you, but I'm deeply convicted. I can't even look up. But he wouldn't look up to heaven. He simply said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, which one went home justified? Well, it's not the one who said, I don't need the gospel. I don't need justification because I'm good enough. It's the man who saw his need and responded in simple faith. That's the beginning point. And then once you enter the kingdom, you're going to have accountability, and all of us will give an account for what we did with God's most precious gift, his Son, the good news of the gospel. Let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you today for the great opportunities that you give us. And they are many, but Lord, we sometimes hold back. We ask this morning that you'll help us, as you've spoken to us about areas of ministry and involvement, help us to know that we'll give an account, and help those who've never trusted Christ as Savior to see his beauty and his Saviorhood. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm going to ask you a very personal question. What are you doing today to advance the gospel, the precious gift that God has given to all those who believe in his Son? Are you going to extend the gospel through prayer, through giving, through what you say, for the way in which you live? We should all be committed to the gospel because, as this parable teaches us, we will give an account. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your financial support. We depend upon you every single day for this ministry. And you stay tuned because in a moment I'm going to be answering a question that was sent to us by one of our listeners. I'll see you right here next time.
It's time now for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. The prophetic timeline for the end times. There's a lot to digest and understand. Tony has written to ask this. we're taught that the resurrection is first, and then the rapture, and then the tribulation. Yet in Revelation 20, the Bible says Satan is bound and put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then the first resurrection takes place. We reign with Christ for those 1,000 years. How could this be the first resurrection if a resurrection has already taken place at the time of the rapture?
Thanks, Tony. Great question. I think that when the Bible refers to the first resurrection there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, it really includes in that first resurrection the resurrection of all Christians, no matter when the resurrections will have occurred. Let me give you an example. Jesus was the first one who was raised from the dead. In fact, when Jesus was raised, there were even some saints who came out of their graves who walked around in Jerusalem. That is a very difficult passage, but there it is in God's holy word. So the fact that we are raptured at the time beginning the tribulation period, then you have the tribulation, then you have the millennium, and then you have this reference to the first resurrection, I would say simply that the first resurrection involves a number of different resurrections. Bottom line, it is really the resurrection of the saints, all saints, no matter when they are raised. Later on, it talks about a second resurrection, and that's the resurrection of all unbelievers. And that even may occur in stages. So, good question, Tony, but I don't think that we should interpret it in such a way that we think to ourselves that this is the first time that there were people raised from the dead. God bless you. Keep studying. And I hope you continue to listen to Running to Win.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. If you'd like to hear one of your questions answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Erwin Lutzer says, you can't redo life.
And of course, by that I mean that we cannot relive our past decisions. You can't redo that. But God enables us to live differently from this moment onward.
The parables help us in getting spiritual warfare right.
And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand?
Getting faithfulness right.
So Jesus told this parable to help them to understand that before he receives the kingdom, he has to go away first. And then when he comes back, it is then that he is going to evaluate his servants.
Getting evangelism right.
But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot pay you back.
Getting investments right.
He is taking this bad example and from it drawing a very important lesson, namely that we should be using our money to make friends who are going to welcome us into everlasting habitations or eternal dwellings.
And getting eternity right.
And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.
You can't redo life. Erwin Lutzer's 10-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Reach us online at rtwoffer.com. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Jesus once told a parable about a man hosting a banquet. When the invited guests begged off, the man found anyone he could to sit at his table. The lesson for us? God seeks the lost, just like this man sought people to feed. Next time on Running to Win, join us for teaching from Luke chapter 14 on getting evangelism right. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.